I thank Bert for picking out that song. I need thee every hour, because anytime I'm up here, I definitely need the Lord. And thank you for your prayers. First of all, I just want to start with a question and answer. We're starting back to school tomorrow, and sometimes we give little pretests. And normally I know more than the kids, but in this case, I see probably a lot of y'all out there that know more than the teacher this morning. But the first question I might know a little bit about, and hopefully I know a little bit about the main important things as well. But does anyone know where is the Baseball Hall of Fame is? Cooperstown. Very good. I knew our brother David, his dad knew that, but he left off for Sunday school, I think. I think they went and visited there one time, didn't they? You have, okay. Some of the people there that y'all may have heard of, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Willie Mays, those are some of the best baseball players that have ever played. And that's a Hall of Fame of baseball, and I'm a big baseball fan, but there's a Hall of Fame that we're going to talk about this morning that's much more important and prestigious than that. And this, hopefully you can see the relation to this. Does anyone know where the Hall of Fame of Faith is? Very good. Hebrews 11. And we've got many names in Hebrews 11, and we don't have time this morning to talk about all of them, but we're going to look at the first 10 verses. If you could turn to Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 10. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the world today when we're bombarded with all these different ideas, people believe in different things, sometimes we need our faith strengthened. We need to exercise our faith and strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to give account for our faith when we come in contact with so many that are not believers. Hebrews is written to a group, they believe, as Jewish believers. Some of them were believers, true believers. Some of them maybe just in head knowledge only. And then some that had heard but really didn't believe at all. And the author of Hebrews is unknown. Not sure who the author is, but he was writing to, they were getting ready to go through and had started going through some persecution wherever they were at this time. And the author here is going through and trying to strengthen their faith, to let them know that people in the Old Testament men, prophets, different ones, had been through and shown faith, and they wanted to let them see those examples to strengthen their faith, because their faith was going to be tested. And I think that this can help us today, as our faith is going to be tested in the world, that we can stand up for Christ with a strong and growing and sure faith. Okay, first we're just going to read through the first 10 verses, then we'll go back and pick up and talk a little bit about the different verses. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance or assurance or confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11, 2. For by it the elders... For by it, which talking about faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture that we can have confidence and faith and trust in it. I just pray that you'll be with me this morning. Just guide my tongue and to say the things that you would have me to say. And I just pray that this will be an encouragement to us all. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, going back to verse 1. Now, faith is the substance or assurance or confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we're going to see that the Old Testament men and women, they were looking ahead to the cross. They had not seen or been experienced of Christ. They were looking forward to his sacrifice. We have, I think, an advantage over them in that we're looking back to the cross. And we have eyewitness accounts written down in the Word of God. So, but still, we have to have faith in Christ. We have not, at least I have not seen heaven, but I believe that there is a heaven. I believe I'm going there because of the work of Christ. There are things that we cannot see through our eyes that we have belief in through faith. In verse 11, chapter 11, verse 2, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. So like those baseball players, they got a good report by hitting home runs, by making catches, stealing bases. The elders here got a good report because of their faith in God. They believed what God said and they obeyed it and did it. And they have gotten a good report from that. And this Hall of Fame is thousands of years old. And these people are going to be in heaven with us. And we can go up one day and ask them about these things that they went through. Similar to what we go through on a daily basis. Our faith may be tested, but they obeyed God and followed Him. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And this is talking about creation, on how God spoke the world into being. There wasn't material already there that was blown up or into what we have today, but God just spoke it out of nothing. This is a story that I heard. It's on a little song that my mom has. Several of y'all have been to the Creation Museum. They have little tapes and songs to help the kids understand and gain a faith and a knowledge in creation. And it was a story of this little boy, and I relate to this because I teach in a public high school. Little boy was in a teenager, was in the classroom in a science class. And the teacher was up there teaching about the Big Bang, saying 80 million, 100 million years ago, whatever number they use now, there was a Big Bang, and that's where everything came from. And the little boy, as politely as he could, raised his hand up and asked the professor, and the professor said, yes, sir, you have a question. He said, were you there when that happened? Were you there? And the science teacher said, no, I was not there, but you weren't either. And the little boy said, that's correct. But I know somebody who was, and the answer's in Genesis. So that's the way that he was trying to be a witness, stand up for God in that science class. And as many of y'all know, our students are bombarded with that, evolution and things like that, that can try their faith. So I would ask you to pray for that, for our schools, that our Christians in the schools will be able to stand up and not lose faith because of the things they hear, the lies they hear in the classroom. Hebrews 11:4. Now we're getting into the different ones that are in the Hall of Fame. Let's look at Abel. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Okay, so if you will, turn back to Genesis 4:4. Just keep your place in Hebrews. We'll be going back and forth. And I won't ask you to turn. There's a lot of verses to turn to, but this is the main verse about Abel. Genesis 4:4. In Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And I won't ask you to turn to this, but it's 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. And you might say, well, how did... Why was Abel's a righteous sacrifice and Cain's not? And we can go back and look in Genesis 3:21 when God provided for Adam and Eve. It says, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. That made them... God gave the sacrifice of these animals to cover their sin that they had committed. And evidently, Abel knew this, and he followed that by giving a blood sacrifice. Cain should have been in the same position, knowing God's will, but he tried to bring of the works of his own, of works of the field, and that was unacceptable to God because that's not what God had asked for. So we see Abel here was out of faith. He knew what God wanted, and he followed it. He obeyed God. In Hebrews 9:22, we find out, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Then I tried to find an example that would kind of relate to that in the New Testament. Relate to, try to make a bridge over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In Hebrews 12:24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So now we have an even better sacrifice than what Abel gave. That was a picture of Christ. Now we have Christ. Christ has died on the cross for us. He is our sacrifice. He is sacrificed for us. And that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And I think an example of the way we show the faith in that sacrifice, is what happened this morning at 9:30. Luke 22:19 says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We exercise our faith in Christ by coming and worshiping Him and thanking Him for what He did for us on the cross. That's a way that we this morning had a chance to exercise our faith in Christ. We came, prepared our hearts for worship, and then shared what was on our hearts in thanking God for His Son. That's a way now that we can exercise our faith in Christ. Okay, the next verse is Hebrews 11:5, if you'll turn back to that. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had so much faith or pleased God so much that God was gracious to him. Doesn't say that he was perfect without sin, of course, because Christ was the only one. But he pleased God, and by his faith, he was taken up to heaven. Didn't have to experience death. The story is in Genesis 5:21 about Enoch. Genesis 5:21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. I gave the answer. I meant to ask this question. I always remember this for some reason. Who is the oldest man in the Bible but died before his father? And the answer is Methuselah. Okay? Gave you the answer there. And it says, and Enoch walked with God, and after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I just think that's wonderful. Neat how that happened, that he had the faith and God just took him up. What that reminded me of, and some of your minds may go into the same thing in the New Testament, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe this can be a picture to us. Enoch being taken up can be a picture of what we're going to read about here. Most of you know this is... has not come to be, so this is us exercising our faith. God's telling us in His Word what's going to happen, and we're going to believe it. We're looking forward to this day. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we're looking forward to this. We look back at Enoch and see what happened to him. We look forward to the rapture when Christ will come back. It may be in a few seconds. It may be in a few days, few months, years. No one knows when that time is except for God. But we are looking forward to that. And it's like it's already happened because we trust. We've seen in the past that God follows His promises. He is committed to His promise and follows through. And we know this is a promise He has, and He's going to follow through with this. We get to look forward to that day when He comes back, when Christ comes back for us. Okay, now if you go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, just to mention this verse, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you think about it, it doesn't make sense. There's no way we can please God if we don't believe Him, if we don't trust in Him. We have to have faith that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. It's not just a blind faith. We've seen His character on how He's done in the past. He's made promises and followed through, and we have that confidence that He's going to do the same in the future. So that's how you please Him, you believe Him. Okay, you can think of about how it's not pleasing. If you tell somebody you're going to do something and they check behind you, they don't think you're going to do it, that's not really pleasing to you at all. They don't trust you. They don't have faith in you. But when someone asks you to do something and you do it, they just have the confidence that you're going to do it. That's the type of confidence we have in God, but infinitely times more than that, because we as humans can make mistakes and not follow through, forget, but God doesn't forget. And God never fails. Okay, now if you drop down to Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This story, all these stories, are a lot of them are right close together. If you look at Genesis 6, verse 8. Okay, we're going to be skipping around a little bit, but starting with Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Dropping down to verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And to me, this is one of the greatest examples of faith. It's believed that there may have never even been rain on earth at this time. Not sure about that, but it's believed that maybe hadn't even seen rain before, much less a flood. And God had asked Noah to build this big boat, this ark. And for 120 years, Noah preached to the people there that God was going to bring judgment. 120 years. You can imagine today in our age, if you say something and it doesn't happen the next day, then people wonder, why hasn't it happened already? For 120 years, he was preaching this. I'm sure people were making fun of him, ridiculing him for making a boat out on the middle of land, no water, for preaching this. But he was faithful. He did what God said. I think that's a tremendous example to us how Noah, even though by our standards, by our minds, it didn't make sense really what God was asking him to do. But he did not falter. His faith didn't falter. He knew God. He pleased God. And he followed through with what God said, even though to him he didn't understand it. He didn't see the whole picture. I know most of y'all have seen this before. In 1 Peter 3:18 it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." And we see here that we believe that Christ, the ark was a picture of Christ. That they were getting ready to be judged. The earth was going to be judged. The only safety was in the ark. There's going to be a time when God's going to judge men and women, boys and girls. The only safety is in the ark of Jesus Christ. We go into Him and we're safe. God shuts the door. He seals us with His Spirit. We're safe in Him. We have faith in that. We have faith that that's going to happen. We're going to have eternal life because of Christ and what He's done for us. We trust in that, have faith. In John 10:9, Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." We know if we come in through the door, the only way to heaven is through the door of Christ. If we go in through that door, then we're saved. That's assurance that we have. We can have faith in that. Just like Noah had faith in the ark, he and his family were saved. We have faith in Christ that he's like that ark. He's going to save us. We walk in through him and we're saved. Okay, now if you'll look back at Hebrews 11:8, we're going to look at Abraham or Abram. We call him Abraham here in Hebrews. The story is before they changed his name as Abram. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went." He went out not knowing where he was supposed to go. God asked him to go out to leave his family, and he just went out. The story here is in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, starting with verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So he's asking him to leave his family, leave his country, leave his hometown, leave his father's house. And he says, "I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So God told him to leave out, didn't tell him exactly where he was going, told him to leave. He packed up, and he went out. And to me, that's a great show of faith. God asked him to move, and he just moved out, not knowing where to go. An example I want to kind of, to give the background, this is an example of the rich man asking Jesus how to inherit eternal life, and then it's going to have a connection to what we're talking about. It's in Luke 18:22. "Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet thou lackest one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when the rich man heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And here's where it picks up with what we're talking about today. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Matthew 28:18 goes along with this, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So we see here in Jesus' time that the disciples, they had left their family, their hometown. They had left and went out to follow Christ and to teach others about Him. And then in the Great Commission at the end of Jesus' life here on earth, He tells His disciples to go out and tell others about Him. So they had to have faith. They're going out, maybe not knowing exactly where they're going. They had to have faith. Jesus asked them to go out, and they went out. And many of them, if not all of them, died a martyr's death. Their faith was so strong, even though Peter and some of them Thomas had some trouble with their faith at the beginning. When Christ came back from the dead, rose again, their faith was strengthened. They saw what happened, and they went out and shared Christ and was even willing to sacrifice their lives for Him. And I just thought, I tried to think of some examples of faith today, and I was just thinking through where we are, or this group, not really this building, but this group right here. This was four men in Greensboro had a vision that God had laid on their heart that they were to have a assembly here in Reidsville, North Carolina. They went out and made a step of faith. Started out at the Y at a dentist's office and then moved on here. That was an example of people stepping out on faith, not knowing exactly how God was going to work it out, but a step of faith. I think about a man here in our assembly that had a vision of training up 12 young men and going out to United States and to Canada and training the men up to be Christ followers, ones that could share Christ, be an evangelistic team, and went out to all over the United States and to Canada, and that has come to fruition because one man had faith in God, knew that that was what God wanted. And you say, well, how did he know that? We just read in the Great Commission that was one of the things God wanted. And he followed through on that faith. And the other day, running by 158, I see a big bus out there about Good News on the Move. And how that faith has been shown. I think about young people from this assembly that are in the process of moving out to other countries. One young lady just went over to Africa, sharing her abilities that God has given her in order to help other believers in other places with their library. I think of another young couple that is in training for the language and things to move out overseas and to be full-time missionaries in a different country. So we see that there's faith being shown here, that people are stepping out. And I don't know, only God knows what He may be asking you to step out in a step of faith. Some things I know that He would like for us to do is He's told us how to raise a Christian family, how to have a Christian marriage, to love our wives like Christ loved the church. That's in faith. If we can love our best that we humanly possibly can love our wives like Christ loved the church, then I believe He's going to bless us with a Christian marriage because we're stepping out in faith. To raise our children in a Christian home. step out in faith, this is the way that we should raise our children, in the Word of God, in Christ, in this assembly. And I believe God will bless us with that. And there may be hundreds and thousands of other things that God could lay on your heart and want you to step out on faith. And we can gain confidence and strength from these Old Testament brethren, how they stepped out in faith, and how we have brethren here and sisters here that have stepped out in faith. We see the examples. We can have confidence that God will bless when we step out in faith. Okay, the last two verses, Hebrews 11, 9 and 10, kind of go together. By faith, he, Abraham, again, this is still Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And our brother Kenneth was talking about the other day that we're to live here as strangers. We're not to really set up roots here because our home is in heaven. And that's, we have an example here that Abraham, he, even though he was wealthy, he didn't really have any roots. He didn't really care that much about real estate. The story here is in Genesis 13, verse 8. Genesis 13, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Abram wasn't selfish. He didn't want, he was the oldest. He could have said, you go this way, I want the well-watered plains. But he was looking forward to another city, a heavenly city. The land here on the earth didn't really matter that much to him. He was wanting to do God's will more than having a certain type of spot of land. So this shows here that he wasn't putting his faith in land or things here on earth, but putting his faith in God. I thought of an example here on someone looking to a heavenly city, someone looking up, not looking around, what can I get here? How much land can I buy up here? But he had his focus on things above, and I thought of Stephen. The story starts in Acts, or I'm going to pick it up in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith, and you see here we're talking about faith, Stephen was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Skipping down to 14. For we have heard him say, they're accusing him of things, and they're trying to get him stoned, which you're going to see is going to happen later. But they're accusing him of things, and they say, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face, and it had been the face of an angel. Then dropping down to chapter 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? He's asking Stephen, are these things so? He takes him back to some of the things we've been talking about. He takes these, his Jewish brethren, they hadn't accepted Christ, but he takes them back through the Old Testament. And it was a neat connection I found here in Acts 7:2, and he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto his land, wherein ye not now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it him for possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Dropping down to verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So he was looking up into heaven. He wasn't that concerned about his physical life, about what he had here on earth. Stephen was looking up into heaven, and God was gracious enough to let him see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Verse 57, Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we see a young man here, Stephen, was full of faith. He was so convinced, believed so strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was willing to die. And instead of charging or being upset at his accusers, he was looking up into heaven, and God opened up heaven, and he saw Jesus Christ at his right hand, the Father's right hand. That's the faith that he had. He was willing to die for his faith. He was looking to a better home than we have here. We're just travelers here, sojourners. We shouldn't set up stakes here. Our stakes are in heaven. That's where our true home is. In closing, if you look at Revelation 21, I got through this a little faster than I thought. I'm reading fast again. Revelation 21, verse 1. We see how gracious God is in giving these pictures to Stephen. We see how gracious God is now giving this picture to John. How gracious he is to us by putting this down in Scripture. He wants us to know him. He's not trying to hide from us. He wants us to know him, know who he is. The biggest example of that is he sent his son to die for us on the cross. We see a picture here of someone that got to look up into heaven, look up into a heavenly city. Revelation 21:1, John says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So we see here John's looking up into a heavenly city, looking up into heaven. He wrote that down. We know that this is true. Through faith, God has revealed this. Even the faith itself, the faith we have, is a gift from God. It's a matter of us today of exercising our faith. God has given us the faith in Christ if you're a believer. Now, he just asks you to step out and follow him. Whatever he asks us to do, are we willing to step out in faith? Even though, and I'm probably the worst one about this, is wanting to know how everything's going to work out before I step out. I want to know how's it going to end up. God is asking us to trust him. If he asks us to step out, be willing to make that step in faith. And it's not a leap into the dark. It's a leap into the hands of God who loves us. At that time, we will no longer need to have faith because we will see him face to face. When we get up there and we're with him, he won't ask us to have faith anymore because we're going to see him face to face. That's going to be a glorious day when we see him. But until that time, let's exercise and strengthen our faith in the one who is worthy of our faith. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the way you have blessed us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. He's worthy of our faith. You're worthy of our faith. Help our faith when it gets weak and it's not as strong as it should be. Help us to stay in your Word. Help us to assemble together with other believers to help strengthen our faith. Help us as when we're out in the world and We hear all these different ideas that people think this, people think that. Help us to be able to contend for the faith, to make a stand for you. Give us the words to say that you would have us to make a stand for you. Help us to be bold in our witness for you. We just thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you care for us. We thank you for our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.